Greetings from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. This is the Wahoo Central Podcast, and I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. Joining me today is my Crozet neighbor, Dennis Hohenschelt, who's about to begin his third season as UVA's volleyball coach. Dennis, this is your second time on the podcast, back by popular demand.
Yeah, I'm a veteran.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
First of all, we want to let listeners know that your team's annual orange-blue inter-squad scrimmage is Saturday at 3 o'clock at Mem Gym.
Yeah.
And that's free, right?
Yeah, it's free. What we're trying to do a little bit, you know, if you have young kids, you know, we're trying to do a little bit. We'll do a clinic with that. I think it's from 12:30 to 2. Free for the kids that we did. We usually do those throughout the fall, sort of with the association with Cabman's
right.
crew. We do those. And so we wanted to try to do one here just to start the season off and get some interest from the kids and sort of teach them the sport.
Then on Sunday afternoon, as part of Meet the Teams Day at UVA, your players will be available for photos and autographs at John Paul Jones Arena starting at 12:30.
Yeah, we're excited to be a part of the event. It's a great event, you know, that they've done with the football, and they've started at all the fall teams here. And so I know our kids are excited about being part of it, and I think it's a great idea.
Preseason practice started Monday for your team?
Saturday. I'm tired.
Okay. What kind of training schedule do you follow?
I'm old school guy when it comes to this stuff, so I guess the kids would tell you, so we did Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today's Thursday, right? So we're at day six. This would be day six of 3 days.
Wow.
I don't really count on 3 days because what we would do 3 days. We did three practices on Saturday. We did two on Sunday, a lift, back to three, two, a lift is sort of how we've gone through this whole thing right now. So Today is a two-a-day, so we just finished up with one short two-hour practice. The kids will come back at 2:30 for a short two-hour practice, and they'll get a quick half-hour, 45-minute lift in, and then they're done for the night. So, like, to them, that's a vacation. and we're to the point where we're tired, you know, but I also think it's our job to create that type of environment for them a little bit where it's a little tough, it gets a little rough. And they have to figure out how to work through it. Last night they hit the wall and I didn't let them go. You know, it's, they sort of were going through the motions and we tried to fix that real quick and they had a great practice last night and they're in 100%. You know, I tell them every day, hey, I know you're tired. Okay. It's not, right. not me guessing about that, but the question is, can you do the things correct when you're mentally and physically fatigued a little bit? And it's, as this week progresses or as the next week progresses, we'll slowly back off and get their bodies back. And, I mean, we don't have anything to do other than train. Yeah. And so, to me, it's like, why not train? And it's not like we're going for a hard 3 hours. Sometimes we might go for an hour and a half and we don't tape and we just pass and serve, you know. So we do some things where we don't jump at practices and stuff like that to keep their bodies fresh.
In February, you added a new assistant coach, Stephanie Ross, who, like me, is a native of Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
What else can you tell us about Stephanie?
Yeah, Stephanie, it's always tough when you lose members, and you know we wish Stevie the best at Penn State. It's a great opportunity for her, but Steph came in and hit the ground running. I've known her for, you know, I don't know, 10 years now. I've met her through friends, and you know as a head coach, whether you like it or not, you have to expect assistant coaches to come and go at times. And so I think as a head coach, you always want to be really prepared for those situations to happen. So I have a list of people that
so she was on the proverbial short list.
Yeah, for sure. She was at the top. And so the good part about it was she was at the top. I talked to her. She was really, really, really interested. HR was great with us and allowing us to move a little faster with things because of the situation we were in. And it happened within a week about basically. So that it's a good fit. The kids love her. She's a great recruiter. She's really, really good in the gym. And so I don't think we've missed a beat. You know, I feel very fortunate to have the assistants that I've had because I've had now three really good ones And she's right up there with some of the best.
Which leads us to Aaron Smith, who's back for his third year on the staff. You coached Aaron at Penn State. He still plays competitively. What is his role?
Yeah, he's right now his main thing is the train. You know, Stephanie's main thing is recruit, train. Aaron's probably the main trainer. He's the guy that we sort of, I let him run things a little bit with the training and all that stuff. He sort of oversees all our camp mm-hmm. things, which we've had a lot of success with here in the last 2 years. And so, he's just a phenomenal coach. You know, he's a head coach, ready to become a head coach. And, he's a caring individual, very meticulous about what he does and wants the best for our team.
Your first season here, 2012, the team finished 9-22 overall, 3-17 in the conference. Year two was a much different story. You finished 18-14 overall, 11-9 in the ACC, and swept Virginia Tech along the way. Emily Rotman and Mallory Woolridge are gone, but the nucleus of your 2013 team is back. UVA has made the NCAA tournament in volleyball only twice, and it's been, you know, 15 years now. Is that a realistic goal?
Yeah,
for this team?
For sure. I think we talked about maybe last year that maybe we were a year ahead of where I thought we would mm-hmm. be last year, which is obviously a good thing. We'll be in the mix, I think, you know, and that's something we could never say before. And I think the kids understand that we're in the mix and we could be, with some wins the right way and doing things the right way, we could be a tournament team. You know, I thought at the end of the year, you know, if you would say, hey, are you one of the best 64 teams in the country? Mm-hmm. I would have said, yeah, you know, I think we are, you know, but that's not how the tournament works. So, I think this team's ready. You know, we're going to need some breaks along the way. If you would say, where are you in day six of practice compared to where you were in day six of practice last year, I would say we're a week ahead of where mm-hmm. we were. You know, the things we're doing right now was the second week of preseason that we were doing last year. And so part of that is having all these kids returning, which is a nice part. The problem is we're finding it's very difficult to replace Emily Rotman right now with all the passing and defense and right. stuff she did. And some kids are having to step up and so it's, you know, it's a work in progress, but you know, our attack's very, very good right now. We think we have two of the best setters in the league right now, in Lauren Fuller and Megan McDowell. They've been fantastic in the gym, and those things are really good. If we can pass and ball handle, we'll give teams fits for sure.
Your team won three of its final four matches last year, and when you sat down with me in December to record one of these podcasts, you said, quote, the kids weren't ready to stop playing at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Did that
yeah.
enthusiasm carry over into your spring?
Yeah, for sure. I thought we had a really positive spring and got a lot of things accomplished that we wanted to. Where I really saw it, you know, was the kids were here all summer. And so that's really where
is
you
that
start.
Unusual?
Yeah, for how much they were here and how long they were here was a pleasant surprise, you know. And kids were dedicated. You know, I use the words with the kids a lot, dedicated. And so to me, to be an NCAA tournament team or an ACC championship team, it's whether you like it or not and whether people like it or not or whoever, you know, it's a 365 thing, you know. And so we, you know, a lot of people complain about that, but I think to be really good, that's what it takes. And the kids sort of get that now. And so they spent the summer here together and lifted and worked camps and took some classes and had a really, really positive. So all our numbers are up in terms of, you know, training and testing and all those things. And so you hope those sort of kick out on the volleyball
right.
court. You know what I mean?
It doesn't take a lot of people to make a lot of noise inside Mem Gym and to make it really loud.
Yeah, yeah.
How big a home court advantage could that become potentially for your team?
It's huge right now. You know, it's a tough place to play because it's one of the smaller arenas actually in the ACC. And so, It's a little different than the other places we play. And the noise factor, we've had a lot of success at home, actually, you know. And so we're pretty comfortable there. We're used to the heat and humidity in there. That doesn't really affect us, you know, that much. But it affects a lot of other people, you know. And so, you know, the kids love it. I love it. You know, I don't want to play anywhere else on campus. Or on grounds. I want to play there. You know, I want it to be the home of UVA volleyball, and I want to make it the home for the next 50 years because it's a great building.
Your first home matches are September 5th and 6th as part of the Cavalier Classic at Mem Gym. What's notable about this year's
schedule?
Yeah,
well, you know, that Cav Classic will be a really good test for us to start. You know, Alabama, that second night at 7 o'clock, hopefully, you know, it's after the Richmond football game. I think Richmond is that day, and that's at 3:30. So we're going to have a nice ending time, hopefully, for the start of our game, and people will come out and see it. Alabama is going to be really, really good. They're sort of where we were about 2 years ago, where they – rebuilding type of thing, started a new head coach. He's done a fabulous job. They're coming here this year. We're going to go back next year. I think it's two younger programs, and we're figuring each other out and figure it'll be good for both of us. The week after that, we get to go to Northwestern and play a Big Ten team, which is a really good test for us. You know, we thought as we upgrade the program, we have to upgrade our schedule and the teams we're playing and those types of things. So the Alabama Northwestern things let us get to do that a little bit. The ACC schedules is really interesting. Trying to schedule 15 teams, a 15-team schedule makes it a little difficult at times. So now we've sort of gotten into a little bit of weird travel at times. Like we have to play Clemson on Friday and then go to Louisville on a Sunday. Right. You know, it's just a little awkward that's not terrible, but it's not what it used to be where we had travel partners and you were at Duke and UNC and done. You know what I mean? And now we have to play UNC on a Friday and Virginia Tech on Sunday and then go down and play Duke the following Friday. It's just a little awkward how we do scheduling. I think the schedule is going to be tough. It's going to present some great challenges for us. I think the preseason, those first 4 weeks of we call them preseason. I'm not sure why we do that because they all count in our records. But, you know, what I wanted to do was challenge the kids a little bit, get them some things against some good competition to get ready for the ACC season.
What does the addition of Louisville, which took Maryland's place, mean for ACC?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question because, you know, we probably had the same conversation about what is Notre Dame mean and what is Pittsburgh mean. And probably everyone has an opinion on what it's going to mean. But in the end, everyone has some thoughts. You know, I thought Louisville had a great year last year. They have some great kids on their team. But it's a step up in league right now. And so, you know, that there's going to be some competition. You know, it was the same thing we talked about Notre Dame. Notre Dame had great success in the Big East for all those years. And the ACC is a little step up from that, you know, in terms of competition. And they find that out pretty fast. So here's what Louisville is going to make the league better, for sure. I think they'll make the league better in a lot of sports, but especially volleyball. They've had numerous successes in the conferences they played in, and they were a tournament team. You know, they've been a tournament team the last 10, 11 years. And so, to me, that's always good for the league.
You have a lot of upperclassmen in your program now. Who are the leaders on this team?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the four seniors right now have stepped up and done some real nice things. Morgan, just because they've played a lot the last 2 years, have sort of undertaken that role. But Sydney and Abby have been very important cogs to just the whole outlook of the team and where this team's going. You know, when we get to the junior class, Lauren Fuller's been, you know, people will say, well, what's the biggest difference last year? And I would say, hey, it was Lauren Fuller, you know. And so she's taken upon it to be a leader of this team, and I'm pretty excited for her. The kid that's maybe the biggest surprise right now is Kayla Sears, who freshman year sort of had to play out of necessity, struggled a lot last year in the fall with her game and where it was going. And just sort of has rededicated herself to being the best volleyball player she can in the weight room, in the gym. And she is a different player right now. You know, if, you know, she's in the battle for this outside, one of these outside hitter spots, and has been really, really, when I say really good, she's been really good. And so, it's amazing the example one person like that sets when they say, "Hey, I'm dedicated. I don't want to be on the bench anymore. I want to play, and I'm dedicating myself. You know, I'm all in." And this is a kid that's gone all in, and it's a totally different player. And I think the people that are going to see her in blue orange on Saturday, they're going to be really, really surprised how good she is right now.
Kayla is one of five players on the roster who's listed at 6'2" or taller.
Yeah.
In terms of size, yeah, how close is the team to where you want it
yeah,
to be and need
yeah,
it? Need it to
yeah,
be?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword, you know, because you say, well, we need to pass and we do all these things, but I'm also saying, hey, I want to get a little bit bigger with that, with those types of things. We're a lot closer, I think, than we were before in terms of size wise. And we're still going to get a little bit bigger, you know, with our recruiting and who we're trying to bring in here and all of those types of things. So, we're getting there, you know, we're getting there. It's, you know, I wish it was a snap of the fingers and all of a sudden you're perfect and you're great and all that. That's not how the world works, you know? And to me, you know, we talked a lot of, you know, and you and I talk a lot about it. It's, I'm trying to build a program and I don't want a 1 year fix. And so we're doing it year by year by year. I think we're progressively getting better every year, which is the right thing to do. And I'm very excited about the future. You know, we're getting to the point where we need to be. We're getting the kids we need in here to win some championships and make NCAA tournaments. And I know not only me, but the staff and the kids are very, very excited about where we're headed.
All right. I know you got another practice you got to get ready for. So here's my parting question.
Yeah.
You are not the only coach in the Hohenschelt household.
Yeah, yeah. No,
do you and your wife, Tara, do you talk shop at home? And how has she influenced you as a coach?
Yeah, we talk shop a lot, you know. And, you know, I think it's really interesting, the dynamic of having coaches and families and stuff like that, where with her – she talks to me about the mental makeup of female athletes, probably more so than anything. Like, I'm like, hey, why do kids think this? Why are they thinking this? What, you know? And so we talk a lot about how do I, as a head coach, as a male head coach coaching females, my responses to them, my body language to them, my demeanor to them, how does that reflect onto them and what are they pulling from it? Right. We have this talk, you know, she says to me a lot, hey, your body language is really bad. You know, she says a lot that to me, you know, those types of things that I don't really think about, you know, because when you coach guys, you never think about those things, right? You just go, hey, let's go play. But the girls react to your reactions very much. And so we talk a lot about why are you doing this? What is this? What are you doing? She probably takes from me more of a systematic approach to why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are this? Why is this kid playing? You know what? I look at it. That's how I always look at the game. I'm looking at like, hey, could you switch this kid around and make it better? I'm looking at a statistical thing. What are these things that help you? We talk about those things. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You know, it's hard to escape. It's our lives, you know, and I'm very, very proud of her and excited for her, you know, of the last 2 years she's had. It's been fun. It's been fun to actually be around women's high school lacrosse and spend time with her and spend times at the high schools and getting to know the people at the high schools. But, she's a great coach. And so she helps me and I hope I help her. Sometimes she tells me enough is enough, you know, we talk a lot about just the our games in general, you know.
Dennis, as always, thank you for your time.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Best of luck this
summer. I appreciate it.
Fans can follow Dennis's team on Twitter at UVA Volleyball. And if you go to the volleyball page on virginiasports.com, you will find daily updates from his players during preseason practice on a blog. As you can tell, the 2014-15 school year is almost here. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.